It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that out of all the attachments in this material world, the attachment to a woman is the strongest. But it is also mentioned that more dangerous than the attachment to a woman is the attachment to a man who is attached to a woman. That is even more dangerous. Okay. So this chapter says that the only remedy for that is to detach ourselves from the association or the attachment to woman is to attach ourselves to saintly personalities. There is another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Prasangam ajaram pasam atmana kavayo viduhu sa eva sadushu kruto moksha dwaram apavritam. Which means that out of all the attachments which bind someone to the material world, the strongest is the attachment to the opposite sex, and such a attachment is very, very binding. But if that attachment is diverted towards attachment to saintly personalities, then such attachment immediately is liberating in its nature, not binding. Moksha dwaram apavritam. The doors to liberation open out. So, in this particular chapter, the pastimes of Pururava is given. Pururava was a personality who, he was a very popular earthly personality who had the power of doing astral travel, who could go to heaven at will. So Pururava was meditating on the beauty of heaven. And in heaven, there was one lady called Urvashi, who you all know, she is the most beautiful Apsara in the heavenly planets. And Apsara on the other, and Urvashi on the other hand wanted to come and taste the earthly planets. So there was an exchange between them, and simply one single incident where Urvashi and Pururava came dangerously close in terms of their physical proximity. It is mentioned that Pururava just accidentally touched her and she just smelt his body, and then attachment developed. And then there's a whole lot of pastime how Pururava got completely infatuated with her and how she got completely infatuated with him. It's very, very similar to what we are studying in the fourth canto of King Puranjana. King Puranjana, of course, is allegorical, but this pastime of Pururava is a fact. It's not an allegory. So, as a part of that background, so this verse is the context setting for that. Okay, so let's read this verse.
Sevato varsha paganme Urvashya adhara asavam Natripyati atma bhukamo Vanir ahuti bhir yatha Sevatah, who was serving Varsha Pugan for many years,
May.
My Urvasaya of Urvashi, Adhar
of the lips,
Asavam, the nectar, Natripyati, never became satisfied, Atmabhu, gone from the mind, Kama, the lust, Vani, fire, Ahutibhi, by oblations, Yatha, just as, translation, even after I had served the so-called nectar of the lips of Urvashi for many years, my lusty desires kept rising again and again within my heart and were never satisfied. Just like a fire that can never be extinguished by the oblations of ghee poured into its flames. Even after I had served the so-called nectar of the lips of Urvashi for many years, my lusty desires kept rising again and again within my heart and were never satisfied. Just like a fire that can never be extinguished by the oblations of ghee poured over flames. And we think that by satisfying our material desires, we will one day be satisfied. Because material desires, when you satisfy, it's like pouring water on top of that satisfaction, so that it will get extinguished. No, it's like pouring ghee, not water, so that it further gets aggravated. So by fulfilling material desires will only get aggravated. We will never get satisfied. There's no purport to this verse, but there's an interesting discussion we will nevertheless have, because today is a very special day. What is the day today? Radha Kund appearance day. Today is Bahulashtami. Now, it's not very difficult to connect this theme to this auspicious day. Because after all, it is mentioned that we have to get attached to the sadhus. The only way Pururava could get detached from Urvashi eventually is by developing attachment to saintly persons. In fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami highlights out of the 64 items, the mukhya, the top 5 items of devotional service. What are they? Association of devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimurti Sevaya, deity worship, Mathura Vas, and chanting of the holy names, Harinam Kirtan. These are the 5 most potent items. And that's why, if you see, our whole morning program is structured such that, you know, almost, in fact, all of this is there in that morning program. When we are talking about Mathura Vas, Srila Prabhupada came to this temple and said, this is Vrindavan, Prabhupada said. So that's also, we are all residing in Vrindavan. No. So, all these are potent items. Now, when I was thinking about this verse, it was mentioning that lusty desires are burning, and by fulfilling them, we are putting ghee on top of that. Right? Now, if you conventionally study the theory of how fires are extinguished, you will find that certain types of fires can be only extinguished with certain types of substances. In fact, certain types of fires, if you put water, you are going to aggravate the problem, especially those caused by electricity and something like that. On some of the fires, you can only put a blanket on top, and then you can extinguish that fire. But the fire of lust, which is burning in our heart, can be extinguished with water. But that water is not the water of this material world, which can extinguish that. The topmost water, which is existent in this material world, which can extinguish that fire, is none other than the water of Radha Kund. And this is how Rupa Goswami, this is what Rupa Goswami describes in the final 3 verses of the Nectar of Instruction. Nectar of Instruction contains 12 verses or 11? 11 verses. So, 9, 10 and 11 are dedicated to the glories of Radha Kund. And Srila Rupa Goswami words it very carefully. He says, the essence of all advice. So, after we completely start giving all kinds of discourses, we write the book. And then we say that the essence of all advice, which means the gist of what I am saying, is go to Radha Kund. That's what he's saying. In fact, he says that out of better than the material world is the spiritual world or Vaikuntha, where there is no birth, disease, old age and death. Better than that Vaikuntha is what? No? Yeah. Better than Vaikuntha is Mathura, because the Lord took birth in Mathura. Better than Mathura is Vrindavan, because the Lord demonstrated Madhurya Ras and he performed Rasa Leela in Vrindavan. So Vaikuntha, above that is Mathura, above that is Vrindavan. Above Vrindavan, he describes, is Govardhan Hill, because the Lord personally lifted it with his finger. The Lord personally touched Govardhan. And he says, better than Govardhan is Radha Kund. And Rupa Goswami declares that there is no place in this entire universe, be it the material world, spiritual world, in any realm of existence, that is higher than Radha Kund. And today is the auspicious appearance of Radha Kund. So what better day than to speak about Radha Kund?
In fact, it is mentioned that Radha Kund is, Rupa Goswami concludes saying that this Radha Kund is the epitome of the super excellent pastimes of the Lord. And he says that Radha Kund is over flooded with the ambrosial nectar of Krishna Prem. So who is that fool who will not want to go there and do bhajan at Radha Kund? He says, I mean, he doesn't use the word fool, but metaphorically I'm saying. He says, who is that person who will not go there? So it is mentioned that Radha Kund is there towards the northernmost point at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And it is said that metaphorically Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, both these, represent the eyes of the peacock shaped Govardhan Hill. And no place in this world is more sacred than this. This has been confirmed by all Acharyas, this has been confirmed in all Vedas, Itihasas and Puranas. So that is about the glories of Radha Kund. Now, what is the story behind Radha Kund? There is a very interesting and sweet pastime behind the appearance of Shyam Kund and Radha Kund. We might slightly go beyond 9 o'clock, so please bear with me today, because we started late. So it's very difficult to describe Radha Kund in 23 minutes. Do I have your permission? So, the appearance of Radha Kund is very interesting. It starts when there is a demon by the name Arishthasur. He comes to hassle the residents of Vraja. Now, this Arishthasur has taken the form of a bull, and he was so ferocious that, he was so heavy that simply by the running of his hooves, there was so much mud. It was said that a cloud was forming wherever he was. So powerful. And then simply by his roar, the cows used to start getting abortions. So that was his terror. We are not going to discuss the details of Arishthasura pastime. We are going to talk more about Radha Kund. But the pastime is that he was giving a lot of trouble to the residents of Vraja. And obviously, Lord Krishna, who wants to protect the Vrajavasis, he killed this demon Arishthasur, who was in the form of a bull. And that's where the trouble starts. Okay. So, after killing this Arishthasur, Lord is playing on his flute. It's midnight. And at midnight, why does the Lord play a flute? To attract the gopis and call them for the rasa dance. Now, when the Lord is playing this flute, all the Radharani and all the Sakis have got attracted. They are all coming to the forest. But as they are coming to the forest, Radharani gets an idea. She says, hang on, we should not associate with this man now. Why? Because he has killed a bull. Gau aparad. He has killed a bull. So, she thinks like that. And while thinking like that, she also wants to tease the Lord. So, along with all the Sakis, she is going there and she sees Krishna standing there with the flute. Now, deliberately so that he can hear, they are all speaking very loudly amongst themselves. They are saying that if a king commits such sins of killing bull, and we citizens, we also have to share all those sins. So what kind of king is he? In fact, we should consult Bhagavati Pauranamasi to find out what is the atonement for this person, because he has killed a bull. And they are speaking loudly so that the Lord can hear this. And she says, O killer of the bull! O killer of the bull, today you shall not touch our bodies. Now Krishna is standing there. Okay. So he is very embarrassed by this and he is a bit upset. So he says, hang on, I didn't kill any bull. In fact, I was protecting all you people. This guy was a demon, Arishthasur. He came and troubled all of you. In order to protect all of you, I didn't regard him as a bull. He was just in a bull form. He was not an actual bull. So what is the problem? So Radharani says, even if the demon was in a form of a bull, it was a bull. When Vritasur, who was also a demon, was killed by Indra, still Indra had to pay for Brahmahatya. So same logic she applied with him. He said, now you also have to pay, therefore. So Krishna did not, he lost his argument with Radharani. So shamefaced, he was looking at the ground. And he asked them, okay, you tell me what is the solution then. So then Radharani very mercifully told him that, see, Purnamasi and Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni, they have advised that you must purify yourself because you are contaminated. You must purify yourself by taking bath in all the holy rivers in this universe. If you don't do that, you cannot have our association. We will not associate with you because you are killer of bull. So, the moment she said that Krishna, that you have to take bath in all the holy rivers, Lord suddenly remembered that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So, all his humility he lost. And he said, ha! Do you think I'll have to go to all these kundas and take bath in all these tirthas? He said, I'll bring all these tirthas here. Don't forget who I am. So he struck his ground with his left heel. And as he struck that, immediately Ganga Devi appeared from Patala Loka to serve him. Not only Ganga Devi, one by one all the holy rivers of this universe appeared there immediately in their personified forms. And they filled the lake. And that lake is called as Shyamakund. Shri Shyamakund ki jai. And Krishna immediately took bath in that Shyamakund first. Then after taking bath in Shyamakund, he started exhibiting what is described as transcendental arrogance. And with his transcendental arrogance, he began teasing Radharani and the gopis. He said that, okay, I was contaminated, but now I have got purified because I have taken bath in all the holy rivers of this world. But what about you people? You people have sided with the demon, Arishtasur. You people have a soft corner for him. Therefore, you will partake of his sins. So now you are all sinful and contaminated. What to speak of you associating with me? I don't want to touch your bodies. So he put the ball in their court. And further, he incensed them by saying, you people are simple village girls. What do you people know about what pious activities are all about? What do you know about the Vedas and religious rituals? So therefore, what is the probability, what is the chance that you will get mercy of all these tirthas? Simple village girl, don't know anything. So he teased them. So Radharani got angry now. Okay. He said, Krishna, the whole world knows that you are the greatest cheater. And by your illusion, you can create anything. You have created some water. How do we know that this water actually is not ordinary water? We don't believe you. So Lord said, okay, I'll show it to you. So he summoned all these personalities one by one by one. First came Lavana Samudra, the ocean of salty water. Then came Sona River. Then came Sindhu River. Then came Tamaraparani. Then came Pushkara. Then came Saraswati. Then came River Yamuna. Then came Kaveri. Then came Tirtharaj. Who is Tirtharaj? The king? Prayag. Tirtharaj Prayag also came there. And then River Reva came there. All these rivers came and started manifesting there. And then after they manifested, Krishna looked at Radharani and said, now I have cleared your doubt. Now you purify yourself in bathing in my kunda. I am okay. You all can come and bath in my kunda and purify yourself. And Radharani was thinking, how atrocious. What arrogance is this? Okay. Until you don't do that, you cannot touch my body. And he stood. Now, Radharani would not give up. Radharani told the Sakhis, hang on once again, don't rush to that kunda as yet. This kunda has been created with a kick. Anything created with a kick, can it be auspicious? Completely inauspicious and contaminated. So we should not take bath here.
Instead, we should create our own kund and take bath only there. Then we will get purified.
So, on the western side of this Shyamakund, where Lord had just created, Radharani found a big hoof print which was created by the demon Arishtasur. He was so heavy, so his hoof print itself was very conducive to create further digging. And Radharani told all the sakhis to take out their bangles. And with their bangles, they started digging and digging and digging. And within a very short time, they created a large kund. And this kund, therefore, is called as Kankan kund. Kankan means what? Bangles. So it's called as Kankan kund, or in other words, it's also called as Radha kund. Is she Radha kund ki?
Yeah.
Krishna did not give up. He said, what you have created is fine, but at the end of the day, what have you created? You have just created a big hole. Is there any glory in creating a big hole? Nothing. So he said, no worries, I understand it's just a big hole. There is nothing in it, no waters. But I don't have any problem in you taking my waters to fill that. So he invited her for that. And Radharani, hearing this, got further annoyed with him. She turned her face away and she raised her chin. And then again she looked at him and said, I told you that your water is contaminated. So we will bring water from the Manasi Ganga. There are millions of sakhis I have to assist me. I don't need your help. All these sakhis, even if they simply stand in a line, we will reach and we will be able to bring that water from the pots and fill this kundha. And my kundha will be such that the glories of that will be incomparable in this world. Now, Krishna thought that, fine, he said, okay, you can do that, but in his heart, he thought, it's too laborious a job to bring little water from Manasi Ganga, even if there are millions of sakhis, and then fill this kundha. So, because of his love for Radharani, he didn't want her to go through this labor. So, he indicated to all the tirthas to approach and serve her. So, he directed them to her. So, go and serve there now. Now, there is an interesting prayer which all the personified tirthas are now praying to Srimati Radharani. And this is Kartik month. She is the head of Kartik month. So, it's worth hearing this prayer. I'll read it out. They say, all the tirthas tell Radharani, O Devi, who can calculate the greatness of your glories? Neither Brahma, nor Narada, nor Shiva, nor Uddhava can calculate that. The corner of your lotus feet is desired even by Lakshmi Devi herself. Only one person knows your glories in full. He is none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj, who cleanses your perspiration out of love. He who decorates your lotus feet very beautifully with ankle bells made of gems. He who himself feels very fortunate to receive the mercy of your vision. By his order, we have appeared in this kund created by the kick of his heel. Kindly accept us with your merciful glance. Let us live in your kundha and always have the opportunity to behold your sweet pastimes with Krishna. Then let all our desires be fulfilled in that way. This is the prayers the tirthas are saying to Radharani. When they prayed this, Radharani understood that this is Krishna's instruction to them. So she cast a sidelong glance at Krishna. And being ever so compassionate on all those people who sincerely approach her lotus feet, she said, O Tirthas, I am extremely pleased with your prayers. Now may you enter Radha Kund with your sweet will. So, all the Tirthas now came and started filling the waters of Radha Kund. Krishna was not satisfied. He said, how can Radha Kund and Shyam Kund exist differently? So what he did, to enable this, With his flute, he made a hole in the dam between both the kundas, and then the water started mixing with one another. So Radha Kund and Shyama Kund ki jai. So this pastime happened at the midnight on Kartik Purnima. So Radharani immediately entered the Radha Kund. When Radharani entered Radha Kund, Krishna also immediately entered Radha Kund, right? And said, I will take bath and engage in water sports daily in this kunda, which is created by you. As you are very dear to me, this kunda too is very dear to me. And he gave a benediction that anyone who with firm faith takes bath on this day at Radha Kund would achieve the same ecstatic love that Radharani has for Krishna. And Radharani declared that anyone who takes bath in Shyama Kund with the same faith would achieve the same ecstatic love that she has, that she has for Krishna and Krishna has for her. So both of them gave these benedictions. And this pastime occurred at 11:45 PM on the 8th day of the waning moon of the auspicious month of Kartik. Today is the 8th day of Kartik? Ashtami. Yeah, okay. So each day of this year, thousands of devotees flock to the holy dham of Radha Kund for what is called as the Ardha Ratri Snan. It's also called as Snan Dan. Snan Dan, midnight bath. So this festival is also called as Bahulashtami. So Bahulashtami is non-different than the appearance of Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. And Radha Kund, it is mentioned, is the only place in this world where a bath is taken at midnight. Okay. So that is the appearance of Shri Shri Radha Kund. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were various reasons for his appearance. Obviously, one of the reasons we all know is to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma. Higher than that is he wanted to taste the mood of Srimati Radharani. Another reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance was to discover the lost holy places in Vrindavan. So, where the Lord performed pastimes 5,000 years ago. So it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by whose mercy mankind today has come to know about Radha Kund. So in the year 1915, on Kartik Purnima day, Lord Chaitanya arrived on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. He was accompanied by Balabhadra Bhattacharya and by the Sanodhya Brahmanas. And along with them, he visited all the sacred forests which are associated with Lord Krishna's pastimes. One day, while doing Govardhan Parikrama, Lord Chaitanya, along with his entourage, happened to visit a small village called as Aritagram. Having visited this village, Lord Chaitanya inquired with the local people, have you heard of anything called as Shyama Kund and Radha Kund? Unfortunately, no one knew Shyama Kund and Radha Kund. It so happened that centuries had passed after this pastime of Lord Krishna and Radharani, and people had somehow completely forgotten about Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. But since there was some folklore going on, somehow these two places came to be known as Gauri and Kari. Gauri means that which is in golden complexion, and Kari means that which is black and in blackish complexion. So Lord Chaitanya did not still get his answer. He went and sat on the outskirts of this village under a beautiful tamala tree, where there is also a small place of worship. Lord Chaitanya's footprints are there in this, even if you go today. So under this tamala tree, he was sitting and meditating. And as he was meditating, he glanced upon two paddy fields where rice is grown. Two paddy fields. His eyes went there. And he found that these paddy fields were fed by some underground springs. Immediately, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was not very difficult for him to understand. This is none other than these two springs which are coming, waters which are coming from underground are none other than Shyama Kund and Radha Kund, which is completely covered by these paddy fields. Immediately on realizing this, with great ecstasy, the Lord ran into the middle of this two pools of water and started taking bath with whatever little water was available. And since this was the first time, it was a very spectacular event. All the villagers came outside and they were all watching Lord Chaitanya taking this bath. Not only did Lord Chaitanya take bath, but he also took clay tilak from this kund and started applying Vaishnava marks all over his transcendental body. As soon as he put these Vaishnava marks on his body, he started getting the Ashtasattvika symptoms. He started dancing in great ecstasy and dancing around the two kundas, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. After fully satisfying himself with his ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya paid obeisances to these two pools of water and continued on his parikrama. Eventually, he rediscovered so many such lost places in Vrindavan. Now, what happened was, as the Lord left Vrindavan, where did he go? Where he was supposed to go after Vrindavan? To Puri, Jagannath Puri. So, as he was embarking on his journey, as he was on his way to Jagannath Puri, en route, he reached Allahabad. And in Allahabad, who did he meet? Srila Rupa Goswami. So, when he met Srila Rupa Goswami, the Lord gave instructions to Rupa Goswami that you must now proceed to Vrindavan and help me excavate all these lost holy places, including Shyamakund and Radha Kund. Not only that you must also write books glorifying this divine highest place, which is Radha Kund. And that's how Rupa Goswami wrote the Nectar of Instruction, glorifying the Radha Kund. From there, again to when he was going to Puri, the next stop the Lord had was at Kashi or Varanasi. At Varanasi, he met none other than the brother of Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami. The Lord gave the same instructions to Sanatan Goswami that go along with Rupa Goswami, excavate the places, write holy books, plus also establish deity worship in that place. So that was about Lord Chaitanya and association with Radha Kund. He was the, because of his mercy, mankind is today able to know this place. But it was verily the mercy of Raghunath Das Goswami, who probably has been associated with Radha Kund the most. Now, how is that? In 1934, after 8 full years of service to Lord Chaitanya at Puri, Raghunath Das Goswami arrived at Vrindavan just after the Lord's disappearance. Now, what was Raghunath Das Goswami's mood at the time of Lord's disappearance? He wanted to end his life. And how did he want to end his life? By jumping from Govardhan Hill. That was his mood. He had completely lost interest in staying in this material world. Right? Now, in that mood, he came towards Govardhan Hill. He entered Vrindavan. When he entered Vrindavan, he came in contact and had darshan of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Because that was one desire he had. He said, before I give up my life, I will at least meet Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami once. So with that desire he came and met Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan Goswami. Now when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami saw this pitiable condition of Raghunath Das Goswami, when I say pitiable transcendental condition. He was not miserable because of his karmas. So let us not mistake this. So when they saw his transcendental condition, they were completely moved and they decided to convince him not to give up his life. So they convinced him by saying that, do you remember that Lord Chaitanya has personally given you his Gunjamala as well as his Shaligram Shilas? How can you then end your life? Obviously, Lord Chaitanya has given you an hint, an indication that he wants you to reside in Radha Kund and do your bhajan in that place. So by that way they convinced, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami eventually became the custodian of Shri Radha Kund. he also became the acharyas for all those who wish to reside on the banks of Madhakudu. So the prime acharya is Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Years later, when Raghunath Das Goswami was doing his bhajan at Radhakund, one day a thought came in his mind. He thought, how nice it will be if these two small pools of water can get transformed into a large kund with lot of steps around them. And he could foresee that in the future, thousands and millions of pilgrims will come and visit this greatest place in the whole cosmos. So this thought entered his mind. Now obviously, at that time, Radhakund and Shyamkund were just two muddy pools of water, around 12 feet in diameter, it is mentioned. 12 feet is how much? Hardly anything. So, when the thought entered in his heart, he also saw some people approaching this muddy pool of water. In fact, to approach Radhakund in those days, you had to go through ankle deep mud to enter those two small pools. So, out of his compassion, the thought came in his mind, why not build a school, do a small project? Now, for any project, what do you need? Money. So, immediately the thought of money came into his mind. Somehow, if I can get money for this project. But now, he had another, it was Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami had nothing to do with money. So, when the thought of money came inside his mind, though for this cause, he felt extremely ashamed. He said, no, my bhajan is getting disturbed with this concept of money coming inside. So he completely brushed and then continued his bhajan. Now, while this was happening, parallelly, miles away from Vrindavan, in the Himalayas, in Badrikashram, there was a wealthy merchant whose name was Samarpan. Okay. His name was true to his quality. Samarpan means submitting everything. So, this wealthy merchant was planning to give a large donation to Lord Badrinarayan. Now, it so happened that Lord Badrinarayan came in the dream of Samarpan and told him, instead of donating all this wealth, and it was huge money, instead of all this wealth donating to me, immediately start tomorrow for Vrindavan, go to a place called as Radhakund. There, go and meet a person called as Raghunath Das Goswami and simply give him all this money and tell him to do whatever he wishes to do with that money. So immediately Samarpan, who was also a pure devotee of the Lord, he immediately left with all the donation and he arrived and came in front of Raghunath Das Goswami. When he gave this money to Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami flatly refused to accept this donation. But after hearing the merchant's story specifically, that Lord Badrinarayan himself has come and told me that I have to give it to you, immediately he called Jiva Goswami for advice, and then based on his advice, they purchased the paddy fields in 1545. The important point is, even when the Lord is giving us mercy, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami did not get that false ego. He still went to his another devotee and sought his advice. It's very difficult. This is real humility. At that time, anybody will get puffed up, saying that, Lord himself has instructed, come and meet me. Now I am the senior most of all Goswamis. No, he didn't feel like that. He went and consulted Jiva Goswami. That's one quality which struck immediately. So once this money was there now, excavation work started under the personal supervision of both Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami. And the moment this excavation work started, they started discovering Radha Krishna deities which are buried in this mud. And Raghunath Das Goswami immediately appointed a local Brahmana and instructed him to build a temple and start worshipping these deities. So these temples are still there on the western bank of Radhakund. And these were the first deities to be installed in that place. And that mandir is called as Purana Radha Krishna Mandir. Purana in Hindi or Sanskrit means old. Purana Radha Krishna Mandir. Further excavation of Radhakund, of these two pools of water, eventually led to revealing the original Kanchan Kund,
which Radharani had done with her own bangles. It was again deep. Even at that time, Kanchan Kund was not revealed. It was only the top of Kanchan Kund because earth had accumulated on top of that. So on digging, the original Kanchan Kund was revealed. And around this original Kanchan Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami built many steps on all the four sides. And it happened that in 1591, the king of Jaipur, Raja Man Singh, who established the famous Govindaji temple, Raja Man Singh came to Vrindavan, he came to Radha Kund, and in addition to the steps which was built by Raghunath Das Goswami, he built a canal which was linking Shyama Kund with Lalita Kund. Lalita Kund is yet another Kundha. Lalita Kund belongs to Lalita Sakhi. So he built that so that the water level can be constantly maintained in these Kundas. That was Maharaja Raj Singh, Raja Man Singh's contribution. And in 1817, many years after that, a wealthy landlord from Calcutta named Lal Babu. Now this Lal Babu eventually became a Babaji. Initially he was a very wealthy landlord. So Lal Babu constructed even more stone steps around these Kundas. And when this Radha Kund is being periodically emptied for regular cleaning, when this was emptied at that time, then Kanchan Kund plus Raghunath Das Goswami's steps could be clearly seen. Because by that time the steps which Raghunath Das Goswami constructed also were covered. So somebody is building something, on top of that it is getting covered, then someone else comes, again unearths that, builds something more. So that's how gradually Radha Kund has been developed. And in year 1941, when Radha Kund completely was emptied for cleaning, they could find natural springs could be seen as bubbling water from beneath the ground. And these springs are referred to as none other than those holy places which Krishna called to fill, if you remember the start of the pastime, to fill these kundas. Devotees also, it is said, saw some springs emitting a thick milky liquid substance, which is believed to be none other than Kshir Sagar, the milk ocean. And in fact, one devotee, it is mentioned, took the milk and took it home, and after the next day, that milk turned into yogurt. So that was a praman, that it was milk. And it is mentioned that even today, sometimes milky patches can be seen around Radha Kund, or sometimes Radha Kund, very rarely, appears almost completely white, because of the large volumes of milk which is being released by the springs below. Now after excavation of this Radha Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami turned his attention towards Shyama Kund. Now Shyama Kund, between Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, there were some 5 trees which were separating both these. So Raghunath Das Goswami ordered the demolition of all these 5 trees so that the work of renovation of Shyama Kund can start. Now just as this work was about to begin the next day, Raghunath Das Goswami had a dream. And in his dream, who appeared? Maharaj Yudhishthira appeared. Maharaj Yudhishthira appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami's dream and told him that please do not demolish these trees, because all of us 5 Pandavas have entered these trees and are doing bhajan at Radha Kund. So the moment Raghunath Das Goswami got this dream, immediately he reversed the order. He said, please do not harm these trees. And in whatever shape that Shyama Kund eventually emerges, let it emerge so. And that's why today the Radha Kund and Shyama Kund are not symmetrical in shape. Shyama Kund has got a very peculiar shape because it was built around those constraints of those trees. So, during the excavation of Shyama Kund, the original Kund which was created by Krishna's right heel was also discovered. In 1576, Raghunath Das Goswami handed over the charge of Radha Kund to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami thus became the next Mahant of Radha Kund. Even today, that sampradaya continues. There is always some person who is the head Mahant of Radha Kund. Today, I believe it is Babaji, by the name Anant Das Babaji Maharaj. He is the Mahant of Radha Kund. So the line of Mahants are still continuing, and the original land deed, when they purchased this Radha Kund with that money which Samarpan gave, if you remember, The original land deed and the letter of appointment is still existing in today in a particular court. I don't know which court, some district court or somewhere, that original deed is still available. So that was about Raghunath Das Goswami's association with Radhakund and the importance what he had in establishing Radhakund. Now, the next topic is about bathing in Radhakund. Now, this is very important, and myself and Gopal Radesh Prabhu, yesterday we were discussing in the courtyard about bathing in Radhakund. Vijay Prabhu was also there. We were discussing this point. So, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all these acharyas have unanimously declared that glory, that bathing in Radhakund is the highest snan that anyone can have in this entire universe. There is no doubt about it. However, in the year 1975, during Gaura Purnima, when Srila Prabhupada was there, at that time, some devotees went and complained to Srila Prabhupada that they found some other devotees who were doing frivolous activity while bathing in Radhakund. Some frivolous play was going on. And immediately as Srila Prabhupada heard it, Prabhupada became very grave. And Srila Prabhupada said, from now on, no one shall take bath in Radhakund. So is there any hope for us? Yes, there is. Srila Prabhupada said that my disciples should go to Radhakund, but not immerse themselves inside Radhakund. Simply they should take 3 drops of water of Radhakund and pour it on their heads. But by doing this, the blessings which Srila Prabhupada has given is, you will derive the same benefits as one would derive of completely bathing in Radhakund, minus you will avoid the risk of doing any offenses to Sri Radhakund. And Srila Prabhupada further said, there is no difference between Radhakund and Radharani. So, how can you jump over Radharani? How can you enjoy Radhakund by swimming? You cannot touch with your feet even Radhakund. You can take a little water on your head. This is respectful to Sri Sri Radhakund. So we should have no doubt whatsoever that Srimati Radharani will fulfill the benediction of a pure devotee as Srila Prabhupada. In 1935, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he did a Vrindavan Parikrama with thousands of his own followers. And out of reverence, none of them entered the waters of Radhakund, but merely sprinkled 3 drops of Radhakund water on their heads out of respect. And it is mentioned that committing offenses at the feet of Radhakund is the surest and fastest way of going to the hellish planetary systems. It can be easily understood that even if one lives on the bank of Sri Radhakund throughout one's life, sometimes we have a desire, I'll build a house in Vrindavan and I'll go and stay there and everything will be alright in my spiritual life. So if at all we think like that, then it is mentioned that even if you think you can live on the banks of the Radhakund, regularly bathing in the sacred waters of Radhakund, please understand that only advanced devotees like Raghunath Das Goswami, who are completely free from the bodily concept of life, can do such activities. Not anyone else. Residing in Vrindavan, especially residing in Radhakund, is very dangerous for those people it is mentioned who are still practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, who are still in the neophyte stage, struggling with their mind and senses, struggling with the scent of a woman. So staying in Radhakund or dipping and taking bath in Radhakund is not for such people. This is what Srila Prabhupada said. So Radharani's own, it is said that Radhakund is Radharani's personal bathing place. And also it is mentioned that even Narada, even Sanaka Rishi, even Lord Brahma, even Lord Shiva cannot take dip in Radhakund. You know why? I was wondering why. It's a very interesting reason is given here. Just imagine, even Narada Muni cannot go there. Why? Because
it is mentioned, even Sukadeva Goswami is not there. Sukadeva Goswami and Lord Shiva do not get this chance because they are in the consciousness of being male devotees. This is very profound. If we have the consciousness that we are males, we cannot enter Radhakund. Even these devotees cannot enter, it is mentioned. So in order to actually enter Radhakund, one must be above the bodily concept and completely free from all offenses. And Srila Prabhupada quoted the famous English proverb, "Fools rush where angels fear to tread." So, we'll go for the next 5 minutes and then we'll wind up. So, the next topic was about, and these are all not short snippets from Radhakund. It is mentioned that there are a lot of Goswami temples in Radhakund. It so happened that at that time, Mughal rule was very prevalent in India. This is around the 1670s we are talking about. And there was a very notorious Mughal king by the name Aurangzeb. Now this Aurangzeb was continuously attacking Vrindavan because Aurangzeb wanted to remove Hinduism, so-called Hinduism. Of course, what we are talking is not Hinduism in any manner, but he thought that it was Hinduism and he wanted to remove that supposed Hinduism out of this Bharatvarsh, out of India. So, out of fear for him, what happened is, all these deities which were there in Vrindavan, they were hidden in Radhakund. So Aurangzeb could not touch them. But eventually, it was decided that all these deities be shifted to Rajasthan, because even Radhakund was not a safe place from Aurangzeb, because he probably got whiff of that. So they shifted all these deities to Rajasthan, and today that's why you find that Rajasthan has got all the original deities built by the Goswamis, right? Or original deities manifested at that time, sorry. They are all in Rajasthan. However, before sending these deities to Rajasthan, all the Goswamis agreed that let us make replicas of these deities and install in Radhakund. So that's why you will find that Radhakund has got replicas of all the original deities of Rajasthan. Now, our mind will therefore think Rajasthan is a more glorious place than Radhakund. This is how the mind will think. Now, before the mind can think that, we have been cautioned not to think like that. It is mentioned that these deities are called as Pratibhu deities, Pratibhu Murthis. They have been installed with all devotion by the Goswamis and they are to be considered non-different than the original deities. So there is no difference in worshipping those original deities and worshipping these deities in Radhakund. So we have been cautioned. That is another glory of Radhakund. Coming back to Raghunath Das Goswami, in 1583, after almost 48 years of Nirjan Bhajan in Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami finally entered his Samadhi. And because of this repressive Mughal rule in those days, the Goswamis were very apprehensive of burying the transcendental body of this great personality, Raghunath Das Goswami. Because normally Acharya's bodies are not cremated. No, they are not burnt to ashes, whereas they are buried. But in case of Raghunath Das Goswami, they made an exception because at that time Muslim fanaticism was so high that they would dig these bodies out and desecrate them just to kill the sentiments of the Hindu population at that time. So they decided to cremate Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's transcendental body, and Srila Jiva Goswami, it is mentioned, personally performed their last rites and had the sacred ashes on the banks of Radhakund. That is another glory of Radhakund now, coming because of this highly glorious devotee. Who was Raghunath Das Goswami? In Gaurav Ganodesh Deepika, it is mentioned that Raghunath Das Goswami is none other than Rasa Manjari in Krishna's pastimes, completely free from the idea that he is male. And a 24-hour Akhanda Kirtan is being performed next to his Samadhi, even today. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, another great Acharya, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Bhajan Kutir is also in Radhakund. So it is said that it is in this place that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami scripted the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita based on the lectures which
Raghunath Das Goswami used to give. He used to just hear it and write notes. And at that time, what was the age of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? 90 plus, right? 96. At 96 years, he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Unimaginable. Raghunath Das Goswami dictating, at that time we can't even hear and see, and our hands will start trembling. And he scripted. He heard, he understood, he wrote. It was at that bank of Radhakund. Plus, he compiled so many great books like Govind Lilamrit, which talks about the Ashtakaliya pastimes of the Lord, and also wrote a commentary on Bilvamangal Thakur's Krishna Karanamrit, known as Saranga Rangada. All this was done on the banks of Radhakund. In the banks of the Radhakund, we also have what is called as the Pancha Pandava Ghat. If you remember those five trees, so those are also there. In fact, it is mentioned that four of those trees have left this world, but one of the trees is still standing, and that is, they call it as the Arjuna tree. But again, it is mentioned that the leaves now have gone, it's only the trunk which is remaining. Finally, and the last reference, glorification of Radhakund, is Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his bhajan kutir, which is the same as the bhajan kutir of his transcendental son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, plus their Pushpa Samadhi, is also there at Radhakund. And this is called as Vraja Swananda Sukhada Kunj. Swanand Sukhada Kunj. It is mentioned that after 1914, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started using this bhajan kutir when the earlier Acharya Bhakti Vinod Thakur left this world. And it was here at Radhakund, it was at this place Radhakund in 1935 that Srila Prabhupada went for morning walks with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and this is where the historic meeting took place when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami instructed Srila Prabhupada that if you ever get money in your life, you must print books. And that started Srila Prabhupada's journey in terms of writing books. And it is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his books that people like us today are able to know about this glorious place called Radhakund, which is referred to as the highest, holiest place in this entire cosmos. Srila Radhakund ki jai, Srila Samukund ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nitai Gautama.